Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome to Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I am Robin Salverson, cow-calf field specialist living the life in Lemon, South Dakota. Our guest on this episode is Bailey Johnson. Bailey ranches with her family northwest of Mobridge along the Grand River. So welcome, Bailey, to this episode of Cattle HQ. I've had the opportunity to meet you throughout the years, especially around the area of livestock water testing. And I know you're extremely busy because you're breeding cows right now. And so I appreciate you being part of this episode because I know, like I said, we've been working together in this livestock water quality world. So could you just share a little bit about yourself and about the ranch?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me today, Robin. A little bit about myself. I operate with my parents as Johnson Angus, raising seed stock with an emphasis on maternal efficiency. Like you said, we're just kind of wrapping up our last little bit of AI. This is our 68th year of AIing, and we will host our 54th annual sale February
28th, 2026. Oh, wow. That's quite an history right there. That's pretty awesome. So like I said in the introduction, that I've got to work with you over the years with livestock water testing. And just to get a little bit better grasp on what on your ranch and also the water there on your place, what do you rely on to water your cows?
We rely solely on dams for water year round. So we don't have wells. We don't have any groundwater for artesian wells or anything like that. There's no rural water in our area. So we are strictly dependent on rainfall and what we can catch for runoff to fill dams.
So what prompted you to actually start testing your water?
Drought has always been our biggest factor when the dams are low and volume of water doesn't even necessarily indicate your quality, but you always find yourself in pastures that you'd normally use at certain times of the year, there's a shortage. So one thing that we do when we are in a shortage of water, such as 2021 was one of the first years we started working extensively with you. We set up a lot of solar pumps with above ground poly pipeline to get water where we need it to keep the cattle on a decent rotation where there is grass availability.
So did you also see any effects within like the weight gain of calves or any type of conception issues or anything like that when it comes to water quality? Or is it making sure they have enough water?
I would say it's a little bit of both. In 2021, when we were really focused on water quality and having an abundance of water in front of them, we actually saw a 82% conception rate AI. So it was just a couple percentage points above average for us. We're usually in the 75 to 80% AI. Another thing is definitely calf performance. A huge difference in calf performance if you're keeping quality water in front of them or quality of water to the best of your ability. We are normally, even in a good year, higher sulfate, higher sulfur. So when we're focusing on our absolute highest quality, which may not be good for some, it is make a huge difference for us.
Absolutely. You mentioned that sulfates is a big concern for you. And that's really an issue across the state of South Dakota, not just where you're located there, northwest of Mobridge, but really it's an issue. And it's interesting you say sulfates or just poor quality water in general, because when I first started Extension, it was always felt that was a very Western, further Western South Dakota issue. And it's really not. It's a problem, not just up to the river, up to the Missouri River, but across the river too, into Eastern South Dakota. And I guess I'm just going to ask, did your parents ever think much about water quality throughout the years? Or
they had definitely done testing in the past. And we had we drilled a artesian well when I was younger, and obviously went through and tested that to make sure that it was going to be usable. And in that case, it was not. It was totally not worth the time that it took and the monetary expense that was there. So we've always lightly tested, but never as extensively as we do now.
I know at one time when I was working with you, we sent not just did the quick test with you because we can do that electroconductivity test, but we sent some into the lab, and we even sent some in for heavy metals, so not just even salts. So there's a lot of things within our water that can definitely impact our performance.
Definitely, yes.
You also mentioned calf performance, and anecdotally, we have, when we visit with producers, you mentioned seeing heavier calves at weaning, and you're selling bulls, right? And so the best performance you can get, not only on the bulls, but also your females, because they're the ones replacing or coming in and replacing your cow herd, right? And so
Yes.
performance is a huge deal. Just to kind of deeper dive a little bit, have you really noticed any changes in your cow herd since beginning monitoring? So you mentioned calf performance, you mentioned some conception, things like that. Have you noticed anything else?
Not necessarily. I think the biggest changes that we've learned to work around it with high sulfates. We've changed our rations when we're developing the bulls and developing the heifers. Just it gives you more information to work around and make the best possible choice to care for them the way they need to be taken care of.
So I think that's a very well-pointed state that you change the management to help you work around those water quality issues or even water quantity issues. Because you prior to the start of this podcast, we were just having a general conversation, and you were saying how you are managing your heifers differently this year because of water. And so if we know what our water quality really is, you can really help manage that. It's interesting you said, changing your rations, because we also know, do you guys feed byproducts like distiller's grain or anything like that in your rations?
We do not. That's a recent change that we made. We feed no distillers grains in our rations just because the dam that we use to water the feedlot is actually our highest sulfate and highest sulfur water source. So when we're looking into that perspective, we just cut the distillers out of that ration and made the adjustments from there. So that was our biggest change.
That's a huge change. I mean, usually that has been a, for a lot of people, distiller's grain or some type of byproduct that typically has higher sulfur content in it. And then you have a distiller's grain product, and then you add a water with high also sulfur sulfates on it. It's just a compounding effect. So that's great that, I guess, again, through live testing your water, you figured out some of those issues, because maybe folks don't understand what sulfates can actually do to an animal. Sulfates can cause, if it's too high, can cause issues such as polio, which are blind staggers. But it can also just impact intake of the water. And animals aren't intaking water, they're not intaking feed. If they're not intaking feed, they're not gaining, right? So there's a lot of different things there. So I know one time we talked about it's you guys have to bump a lot of bump across a lot of pastures, put on a lot of miles to get to some of these different dams and things like that. So I'm just really curious if you've ever implemented any type of technology, whether that be like cameras on your I know you said you pump out water from some of those different sources, or have you implemented, I don't know, any type of technology, drones or anything like that, or would you like to if you haven't?
It's probably more of I would like to. When you're looking at extensive heat like you normally do in a drought, there are years that the solar panels just don't, they aren't enough to run long enough to keep those cattle watered. So you're going up there anyway to start a generator or something like that just to keep them watered or make sure that the tanks are full right away in the morning when they get there, because they water so much earlier. Their grazing patterns change in years like that, and you just adapt different ideas of what you need to do as you go. And there's times that, the solar panels are enough, but it would be really nice just to have those cameras to keep an eye on things for you.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, take a lot of time out of your day. It takes a lot of time out of your day to go monitor all of those.
It
And
does.
yeah, you would hate to see water run out on those hot days because everybody has a little bit slightly different number on how much water, how many gallons a cow needs to drink a day, But on these hot days like this summer, right today, actually it's pretty hot out, that might be up to 35 to 50 gallons a day. And then you have calves drinking also. And so you really need to really watch that the water's, they have that water, not just the quantity plus the quality. Do you guys, I'm also interested, do you guys do anything unique with like having a water source for your calves during the summer months? Do you guys provide anything like a little, I call them creep waters. They're not really creep water. I mean, but anything that's specific for calves so that the cows can't get to them.
We do not, we are allowing access, if we are pumping water to a tank within the same pasture, they still have access to the dams, and a lot of times those calves are going to use it just to cool off, and
But
that's
yeah,
our there.
you do have access for those calves for water consumption and things like that. I think a lot of people forget how much water calves are actually drinking, even at a very young age,
Yes. And when I say, we're starting the generator to keep those pumps going, most of it is that you just want to keep that water at a level in the tank where the calves can access it, versus it's low, the cows can get to it, but the calves cannot.
Absolutely. So I think you're a very unique situation where you do rely solely on dams and you're pumping it out. I get a lot of questions on, I'd like to pump out of a dam up into a tank because you get cleaner water, right? You don't have those cows trampling down into that. You might be able to spread or move those cows around that pasture a little bit. So can you tell us how that system looks a little bit more about? From one dam, do you just have one tank? Do you have multiple tanks? What type of hose you use? Those kinds of things.
Usually depends on proximity of to where we're pumping. We do have one dam that we, if need be, we'll use them. Use two pastures side by side for breeding. And so we'll have quite a climb to get to the other one, where there's two tanks set up, and the dam that I'm speaking of now actually will water three tanks at a time with those solar panels, and just very unique with the situation. Once again,
Yeah.
just something we adapt to as we go.
I think adapting is good. Adapting is good. Absolutely. So you had mentioned, which is also very unique, your winter water, is this correct? And please correct me if I'm wrong, but comes from a dam that waters your feedlot or feed yard, right?
Yes, it does. And
And
with
that's
that, we're able to run a pump system, versus the cows, just to keep them off of the ice in the winter. A lot of times we are trying to run a siphon, for lack of a better way to do things. And you do lose some water there, but you're also really keeping the quality of your water when you have all the manure and everything on that ice in the spring melting off and going into your water source. You really don't want your cattle drinking wastewater, essentially.
Yeah, so you are guys are fully dependent upon surface water, but most of it being pumped out. That's very, very unique. And not having that ability to get, like you said, you've tried artesian wells and it failed, and finding good quality water. So that does make it a very unique, challenging experience or situation. But like you said, you've been adapting to the situation that you've been having to deal with, and to help with that. So kind of with the testing of water, kind of going back to the testing, how did you find out about it? I'm just kind of curious on that, about how you reached out to me.
I was referred to you by an AI tech
Okay.
that has worked with you on a lot of breeding projects through SDSU and was able to get in touch with you, and you were a wealth of knowledge and a huge help to us to get things going in the right direction for what we needed to do.
Well, that leads into something that I can share, that SDSU Extension does offer for the listeners out there, does offer a quick test. And then actually across the state of South Dakota and various locations in our county extension offices and our 8 regional centers. So if anybody does find themselves wanting to test some water, I encourage you to either reach out to me or go to our SDSU Extension website and find those locations that are testing that water. It is a service free of charge. And if you reach out to me, I love going on location, going on to the ranch and just testing for folks. It makes my day, and it also hopefully makes it easier for you guys that are listening. With that, I think we're about to kind of close up or wrap up this podcast. But do you have any last closing thoughts or comments, Bailey?
Just when you're monitoring your water quality, recognize that it's not always going to be your biggest dams are not always going to be your highest quality. That's one thing that we learned the hard way. We've gone through a lot of work re recognizing that it's more so what the water is running off and collecting from the soil versus what is there for the water volume wise.
That is such great advice, because I hear this a lot, Bailey, that A, the water is super clear and I'd even drink it. But unfortunately, that is usually the worst water
Yes.
because nothing wants to live in it. You mentioned usually the larger dams. Everybody has that thought that, oh, it should be good. That's not always the case. And I think you made a really good, you just shared that. Another one I get quite a bit too is my neighbors are having no problems, so I shouldn't have problems. Again, not a good policy to follow. And kind of the last two that I hear quite a bit is if you're running off of a creek or you're on a creek or maybe it's at something spring fed, that it's spring fed, that it's good. And you just made the comment about where that water is running off of, what type of soil profile it's, going through. And so our salts are typically very high, or excuse me, our soils are very high in salt. And so, not all spring fed water sources are good. That's actually a very big misconception out there that I hear quite a bit. And the last one is my cattle are always on well water, so it's good. Well waters go bad, or the wells go bad. They can get, something happens where that water gets contaminated, or that well shuts down or quits, or electricity goes off, or lightning strikes. And guess where those animals are headed? To those
Yep.
dugouts and dams. And if you haven't tested them and they're stuck on that, and that's their water for 24 hours, you could have a big problem. So I thank you for bringing up about the size of the dam is not always the indicator, or the look of it is not always the best indicator. So,
Yes.
well, I thank you for joining us. Always great to see you. Great to visit with you. And with that, again, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'd rather folks, our listeners here, test before you see a problem. You guys didn't have a huge major crash or problem. You didn't have dead animals. You didn't have any of that, but you knew there was something going on and you needed to test. Typically, I don't get people coming in to have their water tested until they have problems, like big problems, like really poor conception rates or death. And so I guess I really encourage all you listeners out there that have your water tested. Don't let the animal be your tester. That to me is not the best way to handle things there. And it's a free test that we offer here with SDSU Extension. It's a cheap insurance policy, even if you have to send it in for further testing like you guys have done to understand that sulfates was a big problem for you guys and how you can manage that. So thank you again. So before we end this episode of Cattle HQ, I just want to share with listeners that We do have Cattle HQ Live webinars that are held on a monthly basis by SDSU Extension, and you can learn more about those Cattle HQ Live webinars by visiting our Extension website, our SDSU Extension website. Once again, this has been Cattle HQ brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information. Until our next episode, the best way to improve your looks is to wear a smile.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal. It's a byproduct.